station. Just take a lively companion wherever you go. Take a portable radio. Take a portable radio.
Now, here comes the music.
Oh my God, good evening everybody. It's a little after 7. It is a Tuesday night.
The closest we've come to starting on time
in 3 weeks.
All of those things are true.
I like to just keep him guessing. You know, I like to be like our fearless leader. You don't want to let everybody know what your attack plan is going to be. You want to be very vague about as many things as you possibly can. By the way,
a little housekeeping
note. I want to make sure everybody is aware. We have checked with human resources, and nobody on the cast of this show was sexually harassed or pressured to be on the show. So I think we're clear with regards.
Which, honestly, is a shame.
Yeah. I mean, some have requested it. But just not there yet. It's, unfortunately, that's how that worked out. But anywho, of course, Marnie's not here yet. She'll be shortly, sometime
she'll be
here. Sometime between now and the time we sign off, she'll get here. Kat Carlson, Al Perkins, I'm Clayton McKee. Welcome to it. Hi, everybody. Joe D's in the chat room. And, well, look at you, Al. You have studiously chimed into the old room yourself.
Sometimes I even remember to go on the YouTube one.
Well, we don't want to be too hopeful.
Some basis.
We're very busy. All right, I'll go chat too.
I will preface the whole rest of the show with the fact that I am pretty goddamn tired. I am going to sip some coffee, and we may get a little perk up out of this, but I can't play. I already told you I can't go out and hang with the young kids and bar hop all evening in Palm Springs and then bounce up and be productive.
Oh no!
And then I had to drive home 4 hours today, so that, you know, and that doesn't exactly make you wake up.
It's rough.
Yeah. So I am I'm on a little bit of fumes, and I didn't sleep for shit last night either because I just didn't. So anyway, so here I am.
I don't mind the drive to Los Angeles because I feel like I've got somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
But that 4 hours to Palm Springs is just mean-spirited.
Yeah, well, there's nothing nice between here and Palm Springs.
Yeah, it's just,
oh, no,
it's
there's
just
nothing.
4 hours shitty, and you're there. And then people are like, oh, but you're so close to everything. No, you're not. It's still like another almost hour to...
Oh, yeah, to get...
Mm-hmm. But to the Ontario airport, because people are like, oh, I love to fly into Ontario. Why? It's not near anything.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Although it might be closer to Palm Springs than I give it credit for, because I've never used it for that. But people that fly into Ontario for Los Angeles, I'm like, that's just stupid.
Oh, I just got a breaking news alert off of the old CNN app on my phone. The U.S. men's soccer team has failed to qualify for the 2018 FIFA World Cup.
FIFA,
whatever. Fuck you. I'm also going to be testy to this.
I'm not going to take it personally.
Not that there's not like a huge... Maybe that's who that guy meant. One of the most corrupt organizations in the world.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But you know who did qualify? Iceland.
Oh, is that a new thing?
That's a new thing. And that's, I believe they're the smallest country to ever qualify.
No.
I saw a headline today.
And
red things.
And typically the old football / soccer players, there's a lot of hot ones.
Oh,
so it's enjoyable to watch, regardless of what country's playing.
Yeah. And when I was in visiting with Harrison and Marina Del Rey a couple weeks ago, we sat and watched some different version of soccer that had a different name, but it wasn't rugby. But oh my God, those men's were hot.
Mm.
But they were
not
saying
rugby,
it's like Australian
but kind of
football,
like soccer.
It was soccer-ish, but clearly they were doing different things because they were using their hands to touch the ball. But it wasn't rugby because they weren't doing, is it scrums? What's that word for when they all... Like, they weren't doing that kind of nonsense. But,
Well, that appears to be a thing.
Australian football?
Uh-huh.
Oh, and it was two cinnamon-colored countries that were playing. And, oh, my God, the men were, like, jaw-droppingly beautiful.
Mm.
It's a contact sport between two teams of 18 players on an oval-shaped field, often a modified cricket ground. The main way to score is by kicking the oval-shaped ball between two tall goalposts. So it's like soccer meets rugby meets American football.
Yeah, it's really.
And again, what is this called again?
I think it's called Australian football.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, from down under.
And it's obviously a casting call for some modeling agency because, I mean, these men were unbelievable. And even because eventually Harrison was like, what is it that you can't pay attention to our conversation? I'm like, you just have to look over your shoulder at what I'm watching.
Right.
Because there was a sports TV behind her, and she turned around, she was like, oh my God. I'm like, exactly. I don't know what that is. But we need to be part of the casting call for this show.
Yeah.
Well, they have to intermittently bounce the ball or touch it to the ground, so they also have to dribble.
Yeah, I mean, it was fucked up. There was no...
It sounds like basketball from the standpoint of traveling. Mm-hmm. The ball has to be in motion.
Yep. It's very complicated. I feel like I don't want to play it.
I can already tell you I don't.
Nope.
Oh, no, I don't want to play it.
Nope. We're out.
But watch happy it. To be a spectator. Yeah,
there goes the Utah Australian football team. Damn it.
And it was... it was on, like, ESPN 4 or something. You know, like, my favorite joke from Dodgeball, El Ocho. If it's almost a sport, it's on El Ocho. ESPN 8. One of those jokes that stays funny 100 years later.
Still funny.
At least to us.
Oh, yeah. Dodgeball was one of the great insomnia moments of my entire life.
Yeah.
Was just turning that on and being like, all right.
So Ben Stiller and Vince Vaughn? What the
fuck? Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't watched that movie.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
The guy just throws a wrench at the key. Yeah. Too funny.
And when he can't remember the pirate, seriously, Steve, just like a pirate. Where's Knife? No, I don't remember him at all.
No, don't.
Where is that?
That dyke can throw.
Funny.
Is it Kevin? But yes, shout out, and I don't know if he listens live or if he listens on the repeats or whatever. Kevin Butler, I was driving to Palm Springs yesterday morning, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden my phone alerted me that the Q-Talk page had received a notice.
Oh my God!
So
your rent is due.
I clicked on it, and as I'm driving, you know, because that's what you do. I clicked on it to read what it was, and it simply said, "Is the feed down? Is the the repeat feed down?" And I had just done it a couple of days prior. I had just gone through and made sure all the files were right and blah, blah, blah. Well, so I hit play on the feed and I'm driving and it comes on and it's that promo that I made about the live feed was down, now it's back, and here's how you contact us and blah, blah, blah. What I was playing between each show, right?
Right.
So it played and then it played again. And it played again.
Oh, no.
No.
And I'm like,
the PSA was on repeat.
And I'm like, well, this is weird. Like, and I thought, well, maybe they grouped them together. Like, you know, because usually I had to stack like four or five in there in between other shows. Like, well, maybe it moved them all. And after like the fourth or fifth one, it would just play a show. Oh, no. It was continual. The loop was just that minute, 2 second liner over and over and over. So finally, when
that turns into Chinese water torture.
Oh, my God. It was. And I was even driving, listening to myself, and I wanted to ram the vehicle off the road. So I finally got to Palm Springs and sat down with my laptop and realized what had happened and changed it. So, Kevin Butler, thank you for giving me a heads up that there was something. And by the way, if anybody is listening now or at any other time, if there's something wrong with the feed, by all means, send us a message either to the Q-Talk America Facebook page or the Show with Clayton McKee page, either way. Or if you have my cell number, just text me, whatever. Because, we don't just sit around and listen to that feed. So if there's something wrong, we would never know.
It's barely bearable the first time around. Sometimes. Right, no,
valid point.
Yeah, I check in on a road trip.
Repeating that, Soiter.
Valid point. So anyway, thank you, Kevin Butler, for your studious notification to me.
Oh, hero of the week, Kevin. Oh.
Yeah. Health a dog of the week.
Now, hero of the week, I'm going to toss that to you because you're killing me. I am enjoying, and I think I made mention of this last week, I am enjoying the shit out of the fact that you have an app on your tablet similar to what we used to produce this show visually, and you're just having the time of your life producing videos with anybody who'll sit with you.
Yep.
And you've learned how to do, you've got supers flying in and out. You figured out chroma key works.
Chroma key is going to be very exciting in the last 2 weeks of the AIDS Walk campaign.
I'm just excited. I think this is fantastic. You have so much fun with this app.
So the best thing is the best videos seem to be happening at 3 o'clock in the morning with my coworkers as we're trying to get out the door. And I say, no, fucker, sit down. I have to do a video. Sit down and do this with me.
Sit down.
Yeah. Because that seems to be some of the most hilarious. But yeah, because you have to do something to kind of stand out. Especially where you're going to just keep repeating. So in an effort to continue to raise money for AIDS Walk, which is coming up in 2 weeks, I continually post videos and thank yous to donors. So if you want your 38 seconds of fame on my Facebook page, feel free to donate to katcarlson.com and I will do a special video just for you.
Oh, that's so touching.
Isn't that nice?
It is.
I do. Yeah, because I think the last one I posted, I got to tell a really fun story about a friend of mine that donated and had donated in the past and had sent us pizza in the past, which was a lot of fun.
Right, that's what I watched today.
Yeah, that was
where
the most recent one.
Jeff walked in with the Domino's shirt or something. Or it looked like
First
a Domino's shirt.
Sometimes I feel bad for the man that I work for. Because of all of the shit that we give him. Because, yeah, he did. He sure as shit walked in one day with a polo shirt on with, like, I think it was a blue shirt with a red collar.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody looked up and said, did he get a second job at Domino's? What's going on with Sparky over here?
Mm-hmm.
And so we passed him a pizza order.
Mm.
He said, hey, Jeff, here's your delivery order. And he didn't get it. Like, the best part was that he didn't get it. He was like, What are you talking about?
Completely didn't get it, I'm sure.
Yeah, so then we made fun of it and posted it on social media, and about 2 hours later, a pizza shows up, matching the order that we had posted on social media.
Oh, I didn't realize that you'd actually posted the picture of the order that you'd written.
Oh, that literally happened. We were like, well...
That's funny.
Jeff wouldn't bring us the pizza, so maybe if we put it out in the universe, it will happen.
A cry for help.
And,
that is fantastic.
And a friend of mine meant to send it anonymously, but didn't realize that her name would be on the receipt.
Oh, yeah.
When the pizza showed up. So she really was trying to just do it all sneaky and not say anything and have a pizza show up.
Mm-hmm.
But being as observant as I am, I noticed her name and immediately, like...
I know
her.
It
was pretty hilarious. Yeah, that was... It was, like, last year, so now...
I know. I wish the social medias were more around when I was working at the bar, because there was a couple times that I would put out, like, a bring mama a sandwich.
Yeah.
She hungry. Yeah.
Well, Brock and I were on quite a roll with that. We called it manifesting. Because we would just put it out into the universe, and sure as shit, it would show up. Like, cakes showed up, pies showed up, donuts showed up, pizza showed up.
Wow.
Just whatever we needed to manifest for that night, munchies, we just put it out there, and it kept showing up. We have superpowers.
Works great in a bar because the beauty of that is not only do you get to be part of the fun of taking food to somebody that works in the bar, when you get there, there's booze.
Right.
So you can have a beverage.
Win, win, win.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. So you made, you're over, as of this show, you're just over $700, right?
$770 right now.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. Almost at the eight.
We almost made $100 today. Day's not over, though.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes.
And we've got how many days still to collect for this?
12 days left.
Got it.
There are 12 days until the walk. Yeah, so we're getting there. And
I think you'll more than make your goal.
I think I'm going to make my goal. I feel good about it. I think I'm going to get there.
And I haven't actually looked at any of the tallies overall for the Barber team. Or any. I haven't looked at any of that stuff.
Well,
I
know that Brock are 1 and 2, right?
I know that overall, Brock and I are 1 and 2 for the team, and I think we're like 8 and 9 or 9 and 10 overall.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, the top 10 fundraising numbers aren't quite as high as they have been in years past.
But that all changes right towards the end, though, because the push at the very end is
And people, you know, some people, this happened to me last year, because I thought I was going to be top fundraiser, and then nope.
Yeah.
Because somebody, you know, some people stockpile the money and they turn it all in the morning of. Mm-hmm.
That asshole with the dog beat me that one year, and I got dumped down to number 3 because of that fucking dog.
Wow. Still bitter about that.
We're not fans of the pets, apparently.
To be number 3. I got my time in the sun.
Oh, mm-hmm. Sure.
I got to look, you know, give that dog the evil eye.
Right, little bitch.
Yeah. Well, be grammatically correct.
Yes.
Fortunately for me, it appears that my main competition on our team anyway is self-funded so far. So I will be recording a video later this evening to challenge everyone to see just how deep his pockets are.
Right.
If you're going to pay your own way out of this, let's see how far you'll go, pal.
The other problem that I ran into with that was a lot of people gave me cash. So at the end of a week of work, especially at work, people would give me cash because they'd be like, well, they weren't on Facebook yet. They didn't want to put a credit card in line. We were still in, you know, those times, like 2 years ago. I don't know what that was. But I would have to put it in, deposit it into my checking account. And so it looked like I was donating like $300 that I wasn't. It was just cash.
Right.
And then I had to get somebody a receipt for a cash one. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. So I had to go to the Aunt Rita's office and go through that and tell them the name. But that turned out to be, and then like last year, I think I had a list of people that wanted receipts.
Sure.
And I had to go to the Aunt Rita's office because you don't get one for giving me cash.
Right.
I can't write you a receipt.
Only if you donate online, then you can print out whatever.
Then you print it out for your tax person. And so I ended up at Aunt Rita's office. Is it Aunt Rita's office?
Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
And I ended up with like a list of people and their donations, and they were just laughing. But luckily, they saw the you know, my tally.
Oh, and yeah, they've always been happy to do that for me, too. Like, I've had that in the past where, you know, different cash thing. And I think there used to be a form. I don't know if there still is, but there used to be just, like, a form that you could
There's always
keep.
A form.
I know.
Yeah, somewhere. And so I did it. I think I did it on one day. Yeah. Each year, I was like, all right, that's cash after
going
this.
Going to the office, yeah. Right. Yeah, no, I get it.
Hi, Mom. Mom's in the chat room.
But then, I mean, after AIDS Walk, I'm going to have to continue to find reasons to make videos, because now it's just fun.
I seem to, on vacation, be able to come up with a reason.
I need to start carrying a whisk. I don't have a whisk yet.
I know. An umbrella works, too, although that's just as...
That's hard to carry.
Harder to justify.
I carry a backpack, and I've got a couple of selfie sticks. I guess I could microphone selfie stick. I've got a spare selfie stick.
Actually, what you need to make is something...
Oh, and the selfie stick is just the right shape for such an event.
Yeah, and actually what I want to do is...
And watch people buy into it. That's my favorite thing in the whole world.
They'll actually talk into it.
When someone buys into something.
It's fantastic.
You've got to get... somehow you've got to make a thing that goes on whatever you're going to use as your mic. Mm-hmm. And you've got to come up with your own network. Like, he's got the man network.
Oh, my God. Missy,
you'll have to have the cat. I don't know what you're going to call it. The KCVL. I don't know.
I mean, KFC would do just fine. Cat fucking Carlson.
But you've got three letters, so you're already, you've got cat. You just got to make cat stand for something.
Cat TV.
Like, Catherine, is your middle name Anne?
It is.
Like Catherine Ann Television. So it's the cat network. See,
I love it.
Yeah, see, the Catherine Ann Television Network.
KCVL sounds like an actual station. Cat Carlson, the cat.
I know, but it's not own. Like, it's got to, you have to have that right amount of horribleness that Oprah did when she put own on it.
Or like KCAL in LA.
Yeah, then that's what the man stands for, the Missy L Network. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I get to be the man.
We're gonna workshop this.
Yeah,
a little bit.
See?
Look forward to it. That's going to be a thing. That's going to be wonderful.
It's great when you can power your inner distrust for Oprah into creative things.
That is lovely.
I'm sure you can come up with something that means something, or is an inside joke that nobody else gets. Kind of like Missy on Network.
Like the Cat Carlson Memorial VIP Lounge.
Right, but that's a little long to have on a microphone stand.
You ain't kidding, pal. Although, you know what? I did... went to see Hedwig on Sunday, and I was like the first one there, and I walked in, and honest to God, that whole group that was with Tuesday, they went, oh my God, she's here. Cat, come here. We're here in the Cat Carlson. Like, they had already named their alcove the Cat Carlson Memorial VIP Lounge. And I loved it. It was fantastic, and it was lovely to see all of it.
Yeah, because I remembered hearing you say when we all got there and sat down that you were making an...
We were adding on a wing.
You were adding on a wing, sure. Right.
Yeah, because they had already built the VIP lounge without me. Industrious little kids.
And by the way, she wasn't just saying we went on Tuesday. We have a friend whose name is Tuesday, for those of you who have no idea what we just talked about.
Oh, sure.
I always forget. Honest to God, I always forget her name. Don't know why, but I do. I mean, I forget everybody's name, so that's
probably,
not terribly
probably
surprising.
Listening. She often listens with Cozy. So.
Hello,
hi, Tuesday.
How are you, darling?
Yeah, it was a fun afternoon. I'll segue into that. It was a fun afternoon. My day to wake up and try to greet the world. And good times, good breakfast, gorgeous day, good day to be indoors and doing things.
Yeah.
Why waste all that sunshine outside?
Why go outside when you can be inside?
Introduced... The Clayton and Mama Die to the Vovomina.
Just fucking crack.
And something called Morning Moonshine, which is Vovomina's cold brew.
Yeah, explain that.
It's a Japanese cold brew. So they start it at the top of the wall, and they pour water into the coffee somehow, and then it takes 12 hours for it to filter down. It never touches heat and come out in these vats in the bottom, and it's just delicious. It's so smooth. It
totally is.
There's not even a trace of bitterness to it.
It is the quicker picker upper. Let me tell you that.
And they were all laughing at me when I was talking about I have my own like Surgeon General warnings about this. Like, if I bring it to work, I have to make sure there's two people working that drink coffee and I know will drink this. Like, if there's only one, you can't split that bottle between two people because one of you might die.
Right.
But you're in a hospital.
It is at least three portions. And I've had people be like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I can smell the windows. Like, you just don't know what. Because it's so smooth. And I find iced coffee to be a problem anyways. Because
it's faster?
Delicious. I drink it way too fast. So then you add something that's 9 times stronger than anything should ever be.
Mm-hmm.
Make it smooth and put it over ice, and the next thing you know, like, what coffee? Yeah. I didn't see that. No,
but no. I know, I leaned over and looked at my, said to my mom, because it was Al and Doug on one side of the table, and myself and my mom, and I'm like, oh, this conversation is going really, really fast, because we were all just like, Oh my god! I don't think my mom was so much, but at least the three of us were.
By the end, she was.
I didn't pay attention to how much of it she was drinking.
I think she just had the one, but I think even she knew, enough. Like, oh, we're somewhere different now.
Like, what is enough?
My God.
And then to go see the rest of the remodel, I had seen the new lounge part of Phoenix Theater, but I had not experienced the Hormel meat section.
The Hormel Theater?
The meat canning
theater.
Section?
And I have to say, I was impressed from top to bottom with that space, the seating, the use of the bar. I thought the sound was one of the best acoustic experiences I've ever had. I've never been so, like, everything was spot on perfect sound-wise. Like,
sure.
You could hear a pin. If a pin dropped on stage, you could hear it. Like, yeah. It was crazy clear.
Crystal clear. And, like, the miking of the singers for different effects or, like, to open up their voices and give them a little bit of reverb. Mm-hmm. It didn't smack you in the face. It felt very natural. I was so impressed with that whole getup. Like, I was like, that they threw in a bar for the show. However they use that, I'm not sure.
With regards to the seating, the only thing I was concerned about was those were damn narrow seats. I mean, I realize I am not a petite flower, but still, wow, those are narrow seats.
Oh, theater seats are smaller than airplane seats.
And I was a little concerned because, it was a Sunday matinee, so there were a lot of... seasoned theater goers there.
Yeah.
And so walking up, because that was at a pretty good incline where those seats were. So I was a little concerned about that. But when I sat down, I'm like, oh, dear God, this is like, and you're right there. Yeah. It was just a little tight for me.
Yeah.
The stadium seating is one of my favorite things about that space, though, because then it doesn't, like, I actually prefer to sit up high.
Yeah. And you're looking right at it. Just a great space. And we ran into the Sunday matinee problem, though. We hit that. Full on, never a good audience.
Yeah.
Just, oh my God, you could just feel that show. Just like, you could feel that guy trying to, and there's just, you're with the white hair.
Just
like,
falling on deaf
yeah,
ears.
Yeah, just
sure.
Falling on deaf ears.
Well, like, in fact, those four or five in front of us, on your row, but down from you.
Yeah, there were quite a few just to the side of me that left.
After the 17-minute, 32-second intermission, they did not return.
They missed the second act, yeah.
And there's, I mean, you see that, and I've seen people walk out of stuff that I'm like, where are you going?
Right.
Like, I heard somebody, there was a whole row that walked out of Ragtime at the intermission, and I was like, what more did you need from a musical than what we just saw? They're like, I'm going to leave. You know, I'm like,
all right.
Yeah. But,
okay.
But it really, it's a tough crowd. Whenever you go to a Sunday matinee, if you don't have the energy on something that relies on a one-on-one relationship with performer and audience.
Sure.
And where are people from? Like, say Phoenix, Jesus Christ. Like, get to the obvious. Like, go to the city you're in. Like, I know he had jokes lined up.
Oh, some of the stand-up, yeah.
Like, I knew he had jokes ready for Gilbert and Scottsdale and, like, but when no one's playing along, like, just, at one point I was like,
just lie.
Just,
right.
Oh, my God. There were some parts of that I felt for him that, like, oh, you've got a rough audience here.
Just keep going, honey. Just keep going. We see where you're going with it. We're with you. We're on board.
But well done. And it's like we've been talking about recently about actors making different choices with the same role and watching them do something different. To mm-hmm. have him play it dark the whole time to sure. me was a very strange choice, but that he was that good of an actor that he could pull that off of like never being likable. Like mm-hmm. You were never on his side.
Yeah,
you never were on his side. And the gender politics of it, that was the first time I've ever noticed that aspect of it. Mm-hmm. I never really noticed. And it's a different time, 17 years later, that Hedwig never wanted to be a woman. So him going back to being a man is what he was. He was doing that because of a nervous breakdown about a wig.
Right.
You know what I mean? And letting the drag queen be the drag queen.
Thank you.
And Tommy Gnosis's lovely song about... there's nothing in the sky but air. There is no cosmic lover pre-assigned. This whole dream you've dreamed up about finding your better half, maybe we just slept together. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it just, and it, I got goosebumps thinking about it. Like, I was like, wow, this show, every time I see it, something different, like, is there. And I'm like, the gender politics completely was lost on me from my 9 million other viewings.
Sure.
Of like, Hedwig isn't a drag queen. Like, no desire to be a woman. And I think they could have done a little bit more, just a tiny bit more with the date so you knew that he got the sex change operation like minutes before the Berlin Wall fell.
Right.
Sure.
I felt like that got a little lost in the translation, that he got a sex change to escape, and then the wall fell.
I was there with it.
Yeah,
I knew,
but I felt like maybe a time for a visual, maybe a time. But I thought the voices spectacular,
spectacular.
Oh, I agree. I thought all their talents were wonderful. They could all sing and act and do. And that girl who came out as the drag queen at the end, fucking amazing.
Oh,
and she had to keep so much going on because she was the one who was moving all the mic cords and the stuff on stage, saying all that. I thought,
and that's choreographed too.
No. I get
no. Yeah. But on Broadway, that was choreographed for that chord. So that chord, you know, to put you in the time frame, you need that chord.
Sure.
But that's a a tough bit of business to keep track. Whoever has to keep track of that shit.
Yeah. Well, and kind of everyone was, because the one, like the bass player over here, would sometimes like manage when they got snagged and
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
But no, I liked the individual talents of everybody. Yes, they can all sing. They do this. The musicians were all fantastic. I just could care less about that story. I didn't. I would prefer to see all of them in something else entirely. But that girl, Now, granted, the guy who played Hedwig, fucking say. And when he came, I expected him to be about 75.
Yeah,
right.
And then all of a sudden, I'm like, what are you, 30?
Yeah.
And cute.
Yeah, it was all that. But
like a brick shit house.
But that girl, I didn't read anything in the playbill or anything about the girl, but my gosh, she had a hell of a voice.
We need to go see whatever she does next.
Yeah, exactly.
She's the one that was in the Heights.
Yeah, and he was, didn't you say he was Navi?
He was too. He was he was Usnavi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I mean,
not one we saw.
And now that's what I see about like playing it dark. Sense. Like he never made you like you never bought. You just never got into him. Like you were never. If you didn't know the story,
right.
I couldn't see anybody falling into his lure of like
being like really sympathetic.
What is this seductress? Right.
Yeah.
Just that their voices though, and the completely out of context, completely in creep for the intermission.
Uh huh.
Just has kept me obsessed with that song, and I want those.
And the
I
way those two girls sang it.
I want those two to get together and record that. It was confusing because it seemed like it was part of the plot.
Right.
So that made it very off-putting as to why are they singing Creep, because it was so well delivered that you just assumed, was Creep from Hedwig? Is that where the song comes from?
Right.
But I am obsessed.
Turns out, no.
And I want those. Right, no. I want them to record them singing. I was just dumbfounded by a song I already love so much.
Yeah.
And again, a slightly different take on it to have it be two
like
women.
Female harmony.
Harmony. It just gave it such a different dimension of.
I loved that.
Oh, yeah. Woo, that was good. Good, good, good. But again, misleading because you were like, is this part of the show? Does this fit?
Right.
And the fact they opened with 99 Luft Balloons was hysterical.
I thought that was awesome.
I'm like, that's hysterical that you're getting Berlin with the war torn and you're getting it in
very
a song,
funny.
But it's not part of the show. So
it
kind of takes you out of it, but puts you in it.
Oh, like, I waited that entire goddamn show because you said in the beginning, you're going to find this so funny later. You're going to get the joke. And I'm like, I waited the whole goddamn show for them to make a 99. I never even put together that it was from Berlin. Never even put that together.
Yep.
Yeah, and the English and German versions and kind of his kind of stuff that he would be inspired by, like you know, just his music and the musical influences, like the shout outs to Debbie Boone and like the voices that he really liked. And then that's, you know, you got to be a good singer to pull that off when you're complimenting these great singers. But anyways, so what did everybody else do? This is the men I've been in bed.
Not feeling well or just because you've been working
just,
so
just,
much?
Yeah, just fighting. Winning, but fighting something. Yeah.
Well, I think finally, once the coffee finally wore off from Sunday, he was so exhausted that he just had to be in bed.
Oh, no, my eyes started to twitch in the
true.
Bar.
It's true. No, he almost Irish goodbye'd. He was we were sitting in the bar watching show tunes for quite some time, and then
singing and laughing.
Yeah, just great time. I had a wonderful time.
Yeah.
We should do that all the time. Any Sunday you're free, you call me.
But boy, did I hit a
but
hard
yeah, we
wall.
Got like Cozy and Tuesday came in and kind of like butted in and separated us, and then I looked up and I was like closing his tab, sneaking out the door. I'm like, yep, time to go too.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm ready. Irish goodbye.
Boy, howdy. Yeah.
He was on his way out.
I mean, my eye was seriously, like, I couldn't keep my one eye open. I'm like, oh, this is going to get ugly fast. I'm going to be like the two drink hussy that goes straight down to the floor. You know what I mean? She face planted after one whiskey.
She's not just a cheap date. She's no date.
She's no date. Yes, exactly. I mean, she's face down. Do what you want with that.
Enjoy. Maybe.
We might have an HR issue.
The consent was applied. You know what I mean?
I have a feeling
I wasn't going to object.
No. I can't believe it. Ah, whatever.
Potentially could not, wasn't able to object either. We're not sure.
Yeah, hopefully a gentleman would be kind enough to realize maybe I wasn't in the best condition. It's about 1984.
Oh, shit.
That's good.
Hi, Lauren.
So we didn't see you, Marina. Where are you from?
Hi. Went to the Equality Arizona dinner on Saturday.
Oh, that's what those pictures were from.
Not dinner, but...
Yeah.
Gala.
Where you were all gussied up.
May I guess? I felt like that was... Is that at the Clayton? Like, where was that picture taken?
It was taken at the... Yep. There. That's where it was.
City? General area?
Yeah. Right down next to Alice Cooper's town. There's a...
Oh, so you're in downtown.
Yeah, and
I was
so
reminded
it wasn't,
of the Scottsdale,
it, you're right,
the
you're
Scottsdale
right.
Center for the
it,
Arts.
It was not there. It was.
It's not the Ice House, is it?
Called.
The old Ice House? Well, because I looked at it and I thought you were at the whatever the event center is down there.
It is an event center.
But I can't think what the name of it is.
I can't
either.
Because I've hosted
right
events there.
It's right on the corner
there.
Of like 2nd yes. and Washington, I think.
Yes. It was all remodeled.
Really
inside.
Nice.
Yeah,
lovely.
Yeah.
It really is lovely.
I was very pleasantly surprised. And it was much... I'm not put it. This is not a put down. It was just an observation. Much smaller than it was when we went 2012.
Just the event was smaller?
Like, really much smaller. It had been a few years, some 5 years ago, it was at the Biltmore. Mm-hmm. And it was in this real big
swanky room and
swanky
all.
Room.
But you're an off political year,
and that's what I wondered.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I wasn't sure if that's what it was about or what. But it was. I would
and
say
you're
not
in
even
such
a third of the size.
Yeah, and you're in such an off year that I think donations for stuff like that are kind of
down.
Yeah, kind of down, and people are focusing more on getting shit done and not on like raising money and awareness. There's not a
well, and there were some things that kind of were
not
were very...
that's wrong to say. That's wrong. That didn't come out the way I meant it.
Well, but
they are raising money and awareness,
absolutely.
But maybe not celebrating themselves at this particular time.
And it was really wonderful. The people that were recognized, the gal PETA, don't get hungry.
Sandwich?
Nope. That she is the director and
is
did
she a Euro?
You sexist
chips
sexist something bigot
sexist.
Racist bigot you sexist racist bigot
you sexist egotistical lying hypocritical bigot from 9 to 5
no
okay
you sexist racist bigot and I think if you go to yousexistracistbigot.com you'd be able to see I believe that's what it is. And
thank God Kat's typing.
I know, right? Well, I could look it up in a minute, but I'm too busy.
Yeah.
And
no, Cox says that's not a thing.
Okay, then it'd be you racist, sexist, bigot. It ends bigot, so...
I'll take things that end in bigot.
Exactly. Like, it's a documentary. And
oh
yeah,
I didn't understand what you the hell you were
I know.
Sorry,
yeah.
That's why I said directed.
She, waiting for that train to come
this.
Into the station
right.
It took a minute.
All right, we're getting
guys,
somewhere
I'm,
now.
I knew that it was something.
Just keep talking. More information
so,
keeps spilling out. Just keep.
She was awarded one of the awardees.
Okay.
And it really like her speech. The people that are fighting for DACA that you know are up there. Their stories.
The film was made by PETA Juarez.
That's it. I couldn't think of that's what I was thinking her last name was, but I wasn't sure. She really was something getting up there. Yeah, she's a force to be reckoned with, but tiny.
Was
I mean,
the
she's
mm-hmm.
not a big gal at all? Just but this. Presence.
Was this a local film? Was it done nationally? What was the?
I believe she is local, but it's in 14.
Oh, 14 theaters.
Not theaters, but the independent
like
film festival
okay.
things. that it's out there. And she's like, I don't care how you do it. I don't care what you do. Tweet about it. Put it on Facebook. Do this. But get that word out there.
Yeah.
So, and she's like, any of you, just say I saw it or I heard about it. And it, any time that there's that
right,
hit.
Right. And that's what you want to do with, as Kat will soon learn, with your early films, your early features. It's not about the money, it's about getting the exposure so that the next time you say you're going to do something, people are like, oh, I've seen your work. I saw what you did with that one film. Maybe this time we'll do something. Yeah.
That's what I'm working on with
And Equality
right
Arizona is apparently going to be doing like a presentation screening? Of it, a screening of it, right? To where, thank you, Kat, because Jesus, I have no words. I don't, this is bad.
I think we're all going to need to get the coffee.
Yeah, I'm sipping, yeah.
But they're going to be doing a screening of it. And so that was exciting. People were they did like a little trailer of it. Marissa and Luisa are in it. And they have different, Marissa Hall and Luisa Valdez. Mm-hmm.
I believe they're both Hall Valdez.
Hall Valdez, my bad.
I believe when
Thank
they got
you.
Married, they hyphenated.
My apologies. You are correct. My apologies. That
just the facts, ma'am.
Thank you. Anyway, it really was. It's fascinating because it was people standing there, just kind of telling their story and how the different things that have happened to them along the way. And the racist, sexist bigots that got them there,
yeah.
right. And she said, and this is why I remember hearing about her documentary, because she said, you know, initially when people heard about this, they thought it was about Donald Trump, and everyone was like, "Yep, that makes sense."
Sure,
but that's what it was in. I don't know, a copy of The Echo or a copy of something, and I remember seeing it, thinking, oh, I wonder if that is. But no, it just was a...
Coincidental.
Yeah, coincidentally, just somebody just happened to come in that fit that... fit that pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Right. So. And funny how that's the first thought you go to when you hear those words strung together. Right. Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so true.
But you,
it's a shame.
You know what I mean? You don't even like have to jump.
No. And it's not
you
even...
You look, you're like, oh, there we are.
Blink of an eye. Just like, meh. Yeah. So, but really quite fascinating.
You hear Dotard.
Exactly.
So I think we need to have a caffeinated drinking word today, just for all of us. So,
Jolt!
So, ladies and gentlemen, dotard.
Oh.
No
to
warning.
The dotard.
No warning except for mere cardiologist.
Dotard. All right.
Yeah. So it looks like they're seeking funding for the film. So anybody that's interested in contributing to their cause,
sure.
It is where is it again? YouRacistSexistBigot.com.
Ah. Thank you. Yeah. She was like, I don't care if it's $2, $5, 10 cents, put it in a tweet, put it on Facebook.
How was that domain not already owned by somebody else?
Right.
Like Donald.
I don't know.
Right.
And, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And one of the fun things, like if you get a chance to go to the film festival, the Lesbian Gay Film Festival here in it's actually in Scottsdale, I think.
Isn't that Desperado?
Desperado.
Yeah. Ted Kirby.
So Ted Kirby has a lot to do with
when
that.
You're
doing a lot of name dropping today.
I know.
Yeah. But when you go to it, like we were lucky enough to see, I think his name is Casper Diem, Dutch-ish director, very John Cameron Mitchell-ish. We got to see a really funny movie that he did. Now I can't remember what it's called, but it had Mindy Cohn from The Facts of Life.
Okay.
And she was very funny.
Fadley.
But as long as Fadley, yeah. If you donated, because he was doing the festival circuit and doing the Q&A, he was there to do Q&A, and if you donated, if you paid your money, so your name comes into the credits as a special thank you.
Okay.
Funding, you know, at the bottom, when you get to the very bottom of the credits, and you could see all the festivals he'd gone to and raised money. And he's on like five or six movies, and they're charming little gay movies.
Sure.
He's very good. But it's fun to go to these festivals or go to these things and be a part of the process of getting a movie out that needs to be seen.
Right.
Or, you know, in his case, they're just entertaining gay films, guerrilla style, because he doesn't have the money for the permits to film in Central Park. Like, he does a lot of location shooting around New York, but they do it guerrilla style, so... Extras are just the people that walked by, so they don't have to get their consent. You know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of funny because one of my questions for him was, "How did you film there?" And he's like, "Oh, they don't know we filmed there. We didn't have the permits."
Smart.
And I'm like, "Oh, your extras were good." They're like, "Oh, they're really eating lunch. We didn't pay
people.
For that."
Right.
So how do you pull that off when you do it? And like, I get the concept of what they're doing, but then once
the film comes out,
once it comes out, and you realize, that's my restaurant.
Right.
What happens?
Well, hopefully they got a little bit of permission from like a restaurant.
But
like,
the people eating
are just in a movie. But you're in New York and you're always being filmed.
And in this day and age, I mean, everybody's got a camera.
It's all directional mics, and you have to pay the money for the Foley artist later to go in and like overdub so that the people that were also picked up by the directional mics, so they can bring down their sound levels.
Oh.
And you do your lip syncing to what you did when you do that. But it's funny to watch because I'm like, that is some impressive, like, who did your location scouting? Sure. He's like, we just stopped film, ran. Because, you know, New York wants its cut of everything.
Sure.
Oh, everywhere.
Yeah, now everybody does.
Well, and I would imagine, you know, if you
think about that as you're making your videos.
I will. Well, here's what I'm imagining is that if your film were an actual hit making actual money, then you would have to pay for those retroactively. Yes. Like, then New York's going to come and say, hey, remember?
But if six people at a film festival saw it, you know what I mean?
It's not worth their trouble.
Who are you going to sue?
Right.
When everybody at the screening is now an executive producer.
It makes no money.
Yeah. You got to go to more screenings. I need some more credits.
But anyway,
they're a lot of fun if you get a chance.
It was really quite something, though. Some, like I said, some of the people that, especially the people talking about DACA, and there was someone who got up there winning an award and is a trans male. Am I saying that correctly?
Sure.
They identify they're a male now.
Right, they're trans male. Right, I just didn't, because I just think that I want to call him John or whatever his name is, you know, but.
It's probably appropriate too.
That just seems better. But anyway, it had zero idea, like none, when he got up there to win the award and was talking and was. It's a free clinic for undocumented. And anyone, but especially undocumented.
Sure, because they're afraid to go into real official hospital stuff and get documented, if you will.
Right. And the table we were sitting at, because we had just gotten tickets that day and went, they just kind of put you somewhere. We were sitting at another free clinic table that offered free clinic stuff, and it was just amazing to listen to these people
and the fact that God's work, literally, where the
numbers fell off, just literally fell off on November 9th. You know, people and on Sundays, I feel like they said every Sunday, but it may have been every other Sunday, something like this. They do free any day of the week, but especially focused for trans folks to come in and get the medical attention that they need. And I believe it's definitely Sundays, but perhaps every other, which I thought was really important. The fact that you don't think about that kind of stuff, that if you're undocumented and going through the process.
All these compounding things going on.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
I mean, it just was so touching.
I see it where I work more often than I ever thought I would. And I'm surprised by... Seeing
undocumented stuff or trans?
Both.
Okay.
But in this case, I mean the trans community has come in as patients. And I'm... there is a conversation because you have to, you know, you not warn, but you have to tell somebody this is what's presenting to us. And then I'm kind of, like, amazed by the compassion that everybody has. That there aren't shitty jokes to follow it. You know what I mean?
I love that
there isn't a, like, everybody's just kind of like, well, this is what we're working with.
I love hearing that.
Yeah.
You probably would be able to answer this question. And it's something that I thought about numerous times, but again, it's just, it never just comes up organically in conversation, except in this instance, because of this topic. I've always wondered and I know several, because I've been around the drag community for so long, I know several trans girls that are out there, but when you go for medical, anything, there's got to be a conversation, because clearly when you go into a hospital, certain things affect a male body differently than a female body.
And not just that, but the hormones that you're on.
Right. So how does that factor in? Because, I'm just going to throw out a hypothetical. Hugely. A 55-year-old woman walks in, but at one point this was a man, and you've got to figure out what's ailing them, but are you diagnosing it as a 55-year-old man that has trans, and now you've got a hormone issue on top of it. I don't know how you would assess that.
I mean, there's certain things. There's certain very specific things, like how a woman has a heart attack and how a man has a heart attack.
Okay,
yes. Present very, very differently.
Okay.
So you would have to keep that in mind if you transition to a man, that you're probably still going to present with heart attack symptoms like a woman. You haven't changed that.
Right.
I don't know this for sure, but I'm kind of speculating that you would look for more of the female symptoms, which would be hard in a real world setting. So you would have to consider everything, which you really should with heart attacks, as we've made jokes about with me with the heartburn and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Once you pass a certain threshold, fat, fertile, 50, female. Like, no, honest to God, that is what you learn in school.
Sure.
That is the actual thing that you say out loud is fat, female, fertile, 50.
Have more of a chance because I'm not fertile? Less of a chance.
So I mean, it's one of those things that gets thrown around. But it's one way to remember what you're looking for when you're looking at someone who's presenting with certain things. Like, what should you consider? And that's a list.
But I figure that there's got to be a fine line with it, because I'm going to guess, just looking at reality to me, and I hate to make this analogy, but this is the only way I can think about it. If you've got a car that you have put Chevrolet emblems all over, and you're presenting it as a Chevrolet, but you've got the engine is still a Ford.
Hi, Joe.
You've got to address certain issues with regards to that. So
yes.
I'm sure that there has you've got, as a doctor who's trying to diagnose something or somebody, I get that you're married now, and that's fine, and you've been married for 35 years, and blah blah blah. But this body is an original male, and whatever cancer, however something is happening or whatever is going to happen, I figure there's got to be a conversation where, like, I understand what you're presenting, but we have to deal with some original equipment issues.
And there's also the thing with lesbians and breast cancer that went on that was like the silent killer, but people weren't female, very high incidence of smoking. There is something to not giving birth to children that seems to play a role. So
going up in the breast cancer?
Yeah, and upping the breast cancer, it seems to play some sort of role. So you have this subcategory that you have to be like, all right, we have to have this conversation.
Right.
And now you're going to add hormones going somewhere. You know what I mean? We don't know which.
And how awful if you've finally become so confident. And your outside, if you will, matches the inside that you felt for so long. And now we have to go backwards psychologically.
Right.
And then start talking about
it's awful. It's something that I think this whole conversation and how far we've all come in 17 years of, like, okay, we have to make sense of this because now it exists. Like, we've all gone from starting off our journey making tranny jokes into accepting, like, there's some issues here. There's a reason for healthcare things and for separate questions and for things going on and... I don't know. It's more interesting, and it started the conversation. I think I have, God, I'm jacked up on coffee or something today, but I think I've changed on this topic the most. You know what I mean? Like, I think my whole perspective on going from, like, bitter about trans people being in queer parades, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck are you doing here? To being like, well, welcome aboard.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody, you have to go on your own journey with that, but...
And I think you're right with everyone with their own journey. I think it's a matter of far more deeply understanding what it's all about, far more deeply. And for me, knowing, and again, just like this person who got up on Saturday to receive the award, I had no idea. Like, truly. Now, granted, I wasn't sitting right next to him, and maybe there would have been, whatever, clues, if you will, that this had been a female. Maybe. Not that I'm looking. Right, I'm just saying.
And we're still on that topic of passing. Like, who can pass?
Who can pass? But, I mean, this something that where it was truly astonishing to me. And yet, knowing a couple of people that have transitioned... has really been the thing that's made it, as it would, more personal.
Yeah.
Right? Really, like, how many people say, I've never met a gay person. Yeah, you really have.
Yeah.
You know?
Did you like Liberace?
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw that out there.
Last Barry Manilow concert you went to. Who'd you sit next to?
Yeah. By the way, he's married to a guy.
A boy. Yeah.
But it, but again, it's the thing of what is the point?
Name is Mandy. He lived in New England.
Yeah. Manuela.
Looks like they made it.
But that whole thing of like, when people get angry, like, why does this person have to come out? Because you do, because everyone needs more education on every topic.
Every topic, yeah.
You know what I mean? You come out as a redneck, maybe I'll investigate what rednecks are about. Sure. I don't know.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, I hate to diminish it, but it's like, okay, if you're a person who likes quilting, well, it's okay for the world to know you like quilting. So that is a way of coming out. Very different, I get.
Yeah, right.
But still, how do you know what conversation or what commonalities you were going to have if you don't? You have to share what you like and don't like and who
lay
you are.
On quilt. That's right.
Right.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's the honest to God. You got to
figure out.
It is.
I'm only laughing because my mother is considering becoming the president of her quilting.
Oh
club.
My God, that's fantastic.
She's considering a run for
Is it being disguised as a PFLAG group? I don't know.
No, she... Listen, there's no PFLAG that can help my parents. Yeah. I think they live in, like, quiet, horrified observation all the time. They just watch and see and just shake their heads and go,
quiet, horrified observation.
But I like going to those things because it really does kind of open your... Mm-hmm. Just because we have such kind of, I'm not trying to speak for you guys. I know for me, kind of this closed anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Anymore. More closed, close-knit.
And it turns into that grouping. Russian nesting doll thing or whatever that fucking thing is called. Where you think, oh, I have this big wide world view and I've got it all taken in. You're like, oh, God, I didn't know about that.
I don't know shit.
And then, you know what I mean? Oh, now my, I didn't know about that. And I just, we'll still...
Oh
wow!
Keep going.
Wow.
We're still learning.
Try. There you go.
And it's exciting to know
every leaf you peel off of the head of lettuce, like there's just another layer underneath it. Uh-huh. There's more and more and more.
Just more lettuce.
So, anyway, hi, Harrison. Thanks for by the way, share that because they're really in good conversation. Thank you.
Yeah,
love it.
Gosh. Got a lot of mileage out of that. Thank God for Crosby.
For those of you playing along at home, we're still in the What Have You Done This Week segment.
Yes.
Clayton McKee, what have you done this week?
Aside from going to the show with you all on Sunday, spending almost a full weekend with my mom because we did hair appointments Saturday, we did theater and lunch with you guys on Sunday. Then I drove again yesterday to Palm Springs. And finally did the installation training. Now, the only thing, and obviously you've used our software for many, many years.
For a long time, since like Edge 2, I think.
Probably so.
This time it's personal?
Yeah.
Electric Boogaloo.
So I trained, he's got a staff of about 13, 14 guys are his staff, and it ranges, literally the oldest guy is, he's got to be in his mid to late 70s. And then it goes down to like two kids who are just like servers who are like 23. So I did all of the training yesterday on the software, and I kept telling them, I'm not kidding you, if you can use an iPhone, you can use our software. Not kidding. And they all thought I was blowing smoke. But literally, they all came to me like, this is the easiest software we've ever seen. Like, they all got it, they were all good, they were on it, they were, you know, I was showing them how to do this, that, and the other, reprint receipts, change this, do that, run discounts. They were all good. So I was thrilled with that. And then when it was all over, Stacy and his general manager, you know, they pulled me and said, like, I can't believe it was so easy for you to do. And I'm like, you were overreacting to everything. Like, I told you, I could walk in. What I would have preferred, though, I really prefer is walk in, you do a training with somebody, and then you open immediately. Mm-hmm. So it's trial by fire. I just explained to you how this works, and then we open the doors.
Oh,
and then
sure, because you learn better that way.
Right. So, but
and there's not a down 3 days where they're... Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, where they sit and freak out about it.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't think they will. I think it'll be fine. Rob's there. No. Stacy's there. They're going to be fine with all that. And then I did a tour de force last night with a couple of kids from the bar, from Stacy's bar and Ron, and we were all over. And the funny thing was I was sitting in it's a bar called Street Bar in downtown Palm Springs. And I'm sitting there, and everybody, you know, kind of talking. All of a sudden, I hear off to the side of me, I start hearing these voices get loud. And I'm like, is there a fight? Like, what's going on? Like, this conversation was getting heated and loud. And I was like, what the fuck? And I turned around and realized it wasn't a fight breaking out. It was just they're both, like, in their 70s, and they can't hear.
Oh, yeah.
So not only are they older gentlemen that can't hear, they're in a bar that's loud. So they're trying to make their point, you know, whatever. I'm like... Oh, it's so funny that I thought it was a fight. It just cracked me the fuck up. So the rest of the night, I would watch them, and they were almost yelling at each other just to talk.
I'm awfully thirsty.
Yeah.
No, it's Wednesday.
I'll have a whiskey?
Yeah.
I told you his name is Charlie.
So it was kind of funny for that. But it was...
He used to work at the bookstore.
He's a big whore?
He's a hooker?
Yeah. So that was kind of fun. Then just jumped up today and drove back the four glorious hours. And it is challenging. I will never understand why people... Who you know the vehicle that they're driving, you know that car has cruise control. Use it. You're forward, you're back, you're up, you're down. I said it like...
That's the Grandpa Roy.
Drives... It drives me crazy. Like, they come out of nowhere and they pass me and then they do whatever and then I pass them and they pass me. But I haven't changed speed. Like, I've been at 78 miles an hour for 4 hours. I'm on a constant. And they're just like...
Some people say that they don't because... It helps them stay awake.
They have to pay better attention.
If you're that sleepy, you shouldn't drive.
Right. Well, it's not sleepy, but I feel like you get lulled into the desert a little bit easier when you've disconnected one more part of your body from the driving experience. Right. I do find that, because I find that desert landscape can sometimes monotonous. Just kind of like lull you into like, I haven't seen a fucking thing in an hour.
Well, and it's all brown. Like if it's during the day, I mean, it's brown.
Well, what I like to do, I use the Waze app, the little, you know, for that. I like to watch it. And then one of the fun games I play is who's wrong. So the, you know, because the way that the Waze app works is if you see a car that's on the side of the road, you indicate a little thing to let other drivers know, hey, this, there's a, this mile marker, there's a car off the side of the road, or there's debris or on the street, or, you know, whatever, the construction, you do all that. Well, or you can also notify if there's, you know, visible police presence somewhere along the road. So I like to, it plays along and it notifies you of this. So you are always affirming that it's still there, or you clear the thing. So I like to, I play that little game. So that keeps me awake too. In addition to listening to MSNBC the entire time, so I can keep up on everybody who's fucking up the world.
Oh yeah, my favorite though is on that drive down the one highway when it says there's an accident ahead. Would you like an alternative route? There is no alternative route. One fucking road.
That's it.
Oh my god, that's my favorite. Ignore.
Too funny. Well, let's move on if we can, because we'll be with them.
Sure.
Here we go.
It's about that time.
Obsession. Are you obsessed? Is it keeping you up at night? Do you find yourself constantly making references only to be met with blank stares?
Obsession.
This segment is for you.
Obsession.
Whether it's musicals, mowers, Motown, Subarus, or Sondheim, it's time to share your obsession.
Obsession.
With the show, with Clayton McKee.
Oh, Kat Carlson.
Can we talk about how much I hate Andrea Martin's character in Great News?
Yes.
Okay.
I can't even tell you how terrible that is. And they've even added Tina Fey to the cast to try and make it better. And as soon as Andrea Martin shows up, I'm out.
Is that the one after...
I fucking love her.
Will and Grace.
Will and Grace.
Yeah. You've taken a terrific actress that's almost always
and
funny.
Done terrible things to her. She's not funny. The haircut is not working. It looks like a fucking helmet.
I'm gonna have to look at this. I have no idea.
It's the most annoying. You're gonna be upset about it because it's the most annoying show on television. Okay. Please, no one watch it. It needs to go away. I'm sorry, Tina Fey. I love you. I know you're listening.
And this
you're listening.
But she's in the other room. She's here with me.
It's really Tracy Wigfield, who was a writer on 30 Rock and on Kimmy Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
This was her show, and she used her...
mom off of the show, and it might be funny again.
Like they brought in Tina Fey was like her executive producer, like under their umbrella.
Yeah.
But it's really Tracy Wigfield in there. It's bad. Yeah. And the overall show is iffy at best.
Yeah.
But then, and Andrea Martin is already on Difficult People playing a similar character, but playing
and doing it much better
out
over
of it.
There.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what is happening wrong.
Hire a different actress. Don't play somebody.
But now
the same
I'm just
role.
Hate watching it because I knew that Tina Fey was showing up in season two, and I'm a big fan and wanted to be ready for it. So I hate watched the entire first season. Painfully.
What is the premise?
It's kind of like the newsroom meets 30 Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So
it's a very dysfunctional newsroom. with an older guy who is a who is the big anchor of the city, but he's a fucked up mess, and nobody wants to deal with him. But they have to deal with him.
That's your Jack Donaghy.
Yeah, that's him. Yeah. Yeah, sure. So it it feels very much like it's just a ripoff of 30 Rock.
Well,
to
it's Newsroom meets 30 Rock, which makes a lot of sense because it's like the news premise, but with 30 Rock writers. So.
And now they brought in Tina Fey as Jack Donaghy.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's doing spectacularly. Yeah. Tina, she's listening.
She's good always work. Funny.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You but can't
that,
go wrong. But
that show needs some, like,
I don't know if I'm going to make it all the way through the season because, pain, pain, pain.
And I don't think Tina Fey can't be funny.
Right.
Is there anything that
well, you know, her and I have that in common. We're just naturally.
Well, goddamn similar.
I've said it a lot.
Similar. Wow. Similar.
Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back there,
Many
Kat.
People have said.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
The best people.
Basically the people. Tina Fey of Phoenix. Yeah. Thank you for noticing.
Can you not be funny, Kat Carlson?
I don't know how. Gosh, I don't know how.
Gosh darn it.
Mm-hmm. Marn, back to you.
Well, can we talk about the California wildfire stuff?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Obsessed. There was just an announcement of a couple that had been married 75 years.
Oh, I heard the story today.
Yeah. Died together because they couldn't get out of their home. 199 years old.
Right. Not 199, but one was 99.
One was 100.
And one,
The husband.
I didn't know people were living that long yet.
Wow.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's global warming.
I need to raise the bar. I'm just aiming for 100.
That's right, right. And I'm not. But
aim low.
But it really just heartbreaking. It was the Atlas Peak fire. I sent you a couple of pictures.
I just got them. In fact, I'll show the before when you're ready.
Yeah, please go ahead. It's heartbreaking. This is in Napa. The before picture, as you can see right up there, is the before
that neighborhood, and then this is the same shot of that neighborhood
in Santa Rosa, California. Actually,
just everything's gone.
Jesus. Yeah,
that's it. Unbelievable. It's called the Coffee Park neighborhood in Santa Rosa, California.
For those of you listening, it's like somebody took a spatula to the entire thing and just scraped
really
all
is.
The houses.
Yeah,
I don't
think it's left or streets. That's it.
And
Yes. Mm. And I mean, even the trees, there are a couple of trees just down at the bottom of that picture where there are a couple of evergreens. That's it. And it looks like maybe a baseball field is still green, kind of. You know, it just is.
Yeah,
that's the before.
Do the after again? Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh.
Right down here is the bottom left. You can kind of see green. And then in the upper right, or I'm sorry, upper left.
Yeah, is that
kind of, oh, I see what you're talking about. That patch.
The baseball diamond or whatever
right,
that is.
Right, yeah. You can see it really well there.
Or
in that
small, yeah, small park.
And then when you look at the after, it's you can still slightly see it right there. Yeah.
And it may have just been misleading by the name of the neighborhood, but I was watching the Weather Channel was, my obsession.
Right.
Yeah. The Weather Channel was playing something that I was under the impression was in Anaheim. But it might have just been a neighborhood called Anaheim Heights or something.
Thank you, because somebody said something about Anaheim, and then it's not, and I'm like, whoa.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, so that was they were showing the fire as they were trying.
Oh, that's Santa Rosa. That's right. Yeah. Harrison just called, that picture we just showed is Santa Rosa, and I had heard that earlier today on the radio.
Harrison is terrifying.
They were showing the fires and the firefighters' just efforts to keep it, because on TV, the one house caught and like. A second house caught fire while they were filming.
Oh, of course.
And then they showed, like, the houses on either side is, and they were very close together. It was one of those neighborhoods with the McMansions, kind of. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's the right word, but they're very close together and very big. And, I mean, they were just...
Right. One was setting another on fire and another on fire.
Yeah, but, I mean, they were just trying to keep the one wall wet.
To that point, with regards to those fires, I'm going to kind of pair this to what my obsession was today, but what annoyed me today with regards to these fires was, as I'm rolling back, they broke in because 45 welcomed the
Pittsburgh Penguins.
The Penguins to the White House today and did this whole, they won their championship, yada yada, move on, blah blah blah. But he went through all of this stuff, and before he did their presentation, he talked about the wildfires and all this other stuff, and just the way he said it, it was very, we're with you, we support you, we're sending aid, he was on it for all of that. And I'm not saying that they don't deserve aid and they need help. I get that.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just, to me, another slap in the face to anybody who is in Puerto Rico. And because he just, again, just didn't give a shit. And it just annoyed me. The way I'm driving along, I'm just getting angry just listening to him be like, we're here for you. We've got your back.
And he did say, and then he went right to the thing and went out in Vegas last week. Like,
right.
Like, his thoughts and prayers went everywhere, but
fuck
Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It just is astounding, the different before and after pictures that they have at the New York Times, NewYorkTimes.com.
The horror of, because they had so much rain this past winter, they had so much rain that they desperately needed, so things grew and turned into tinder.
Right, I mean, absolutely. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's the down, it's, the, it, you know.
Oh.
If it's not mudslides, it's fires. Like, oh. Just awful.
Anaheim is totally on fire. Oh,
and I had not heard that.
And Harrison, is there any? Because I don't know. With this being my obsession, I thought it was a little bit more, just more north.
Right. No, it is. Well, there's a lot of fires going on. So while Anaheim is on fire, so is near
Sonoma,
Napa.
Napa, and all that. So because,
and she
is
just,
this
just
something scary
close to Sacramento
for
man.
Harrison for Aaron. I mean, as
no,
far
well,
as,
she's 70 miles away from Anaheim, according to her up here. But they just had a big fire near them that they almost had to evacuate up. And I don't know if it was actually in the San Gabriels, but they were, it was encroaching on them recently.
Oh, well, I'm so glad everything is okay, but, oh, mercy.
It's crazy. Obsession, sir. Does. Or do you have, or do
I
you,
am.
Or, mine is musical because of sharing the Liza with the Z with the Cat Carlson this past week. There is a song from her first musical called Flora the Red Menace, and the song is called Sing Happy. Sing me a happy song about... And it's so charming to hear Liza not be Liza yet.
Oh, gotcha.
That she's just a 19-year-old girl with a cute show to sell, and it's a little over orchestrated. There's a couple extra cowbells and shit going on.
We need more cowbell.
But it's just it's one of those songs that I just enjoy, like the message of everything about catching the ring, and the lyrics are just so much fun about she just sing me a happy song. Like don't bore me. I don't want love songs. I don't want sad songs. I just sing me a happy song. Everything about everything going right. Like that's what I want to hear. And it's just such a charming little lyric that I just got obsessed with this week.
Good.
And it just kind of lifts it a little tune to take along in your head. And
it's
just
a lovely obsession. Uh-huh.
Love it.
Look at you being all uplifting and shit.
Yeah, what the fuck is up with
that? So if you get a chance to find it. And she did it live in a lot of stuff. I can never keep track because her and HBO were kind of attached at the hip there in the 70s. So she had 19 concerts in the 70s and 80s.
Oh.
Good on her.
But
gosh.
Mm-hmm.
And what was yours?
Clayton McKeon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Marnie sent me the link to these before and after pictures, and I'm looking, and I'm astounded.
I'll put them in the chat room.
Put the link in the chat room, yeah. I have to... Hang on. Let's see if I can save these right quick. My obsession has been piggybacking with the tragedies. When I saw the news report that Elon Musk and Tesla said that they would rebuild the power grid in Puerto Rico...
Bigger,
I'm
faster, stronger.
Fucking better. Do it. I want them, because it's an island. Yeah. A lot of water around that. It's an island.
It's
a
really big ocean.
All
ocean.
On its own.
It's really big.
I would love for them to do that and literally show the fucking world solar works.
Oh,
it will fucking work. We're going to build a whole goddamn island, and it's going to be done. And then I was reading the comments, and of course, the first thing, those batteries fail, you got to replace those. Yeah, so do turbines and power plants, too.
Yeah.
It's the same.
And eventually, oil runs out.
Right.
And gas. And you got to refill the tank.
Exactly. It's all there. So you're going to have maintenance on any power grid. That you're not ever going to escape that, ever.
Right.
I get that. But I would love for him to do that. In fact, I read in another report that he actually shut down, Elon Musk actually shut down development and production on, I want to say it was there something else they were working on. I want to say it was like a tractor trailer, like a Tesla's was working on some other big truck or something else they were working on. He's shut down all of that to focus purely on this power thing for them. I just really hope that takes off and they get all of Puerto Rico done with solar, and they just prove to the world You can't tell us it doesn't work.
Right.
I would love to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Is that, now, was that also the piece with Google or no? I'm ignorant of that. Did you see those balloons that Google is sending?
Oh, is this for the networking?
Uh-huh.
I have seen them do that elsewhere, but I didn't know that they'd released it for that.
That's what. So there are these big balloons that Google is releasing that
deploys.
They have deploys, right? And they have little satellite things on them so that they can get back the internet.
And say they've been working on those Wi-Fi balloons for a while.
Well, and they did this.
And necessity is the mother of invention. So mm-hmm.
They did this.
Right?
God,
yes.
I shouldn't speak to it because I'm not 100% sure. But they did this somewhere else but spent a lot of time with these before this was attempted. But it worked wherever that was. It worked, and so that's what they're just like. Why not?
It's called Project Loon, and from Google. Well, it's from the company X, which is like a subsidiary of Google because they've divided into 7 million little companies. But just from their front page, more than half of the world's population is still without internet access. Mm. And so Project Loon is a network of balloons traveling.
Yeah, that's why I heard this.
Yeah, traveling on the edge of space, designed to extend internet connectivity to people in rural and remote areas worldwide.
Right, and it's pretty cool.
What a fantastic idea.
Yeah, watching this the other day on the news was like, whoa.
I want all these
resource-wise. We're going to have to bring people off the coast soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Bring them into those big empty areas in the middle where
They're just going to keep washing away. We're going to have to get off of the shore.
Yep.
Before everyone just dies in hurricanes.
Before we move off too much further, I just wanted to show this before we get to our headlines tease. These are the pictures from the link that Marnie sent me. This is not that. Stand by. I had that queued up for something else. So that's a before. Of a McMansion, if you will, that was out there, lovely house. After,
You're saying these are from Santa Rosa.
That's, yeah. It's from the link from the New York Times.
And that's that is very similar to what they were showing on TV.
But a pool in the front yard of the fire-ravaged. I'm going to mispronounce this. Signorello Estate Winery in Napa.
Oh,
I want a house with a pool in the front yard.
Signorello.
Yeah, in the California, they went through enough a couple years ago with the earthquake that kind of destroyed so much of their product.
That's right.
I mean, if you're a fan of those Northern California wines.
Right.
Crazy.
It's just,
crazy, crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So be thankful for what you got that's not on fire. Mm-hmm. You know what's funny is I was thinking as I was driving back here today.
On fire or underwater. Literally.
But I was completely thinking that as I'm driving back to Phoenix where we get a few dust storms a year, but for the most part, in Phoenix proper, we don't have anything else. Yes, there are fires in Northern Arizona. Right. We have a couple, there's snow and ice in Northern Arizona. But in Phoenix, we're pretty clear. We got not a lot to worry about. It gets a little hot in the summer.
We bitch about a haboob.
Right.
I mean, which was spectacular, by the way. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Just, you're right.
And that's all we have to bitch about. So we're, knock wood, we're pretty
okay.
We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I like there's warnings for so many things, but those earthquakes just come up.
Oh.
Like those people in Mexico, they're all of a sudden, everything's just gone. Mm-hmm. You get 3 seconds. You don't have days to prepare. There's everything's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in fact, I haven't even heard anything about the Mexico earthquake. In over a week, it seems like. I haven't heard anything.
Right.
I'm assuming they're probably still... Well, at this point, it's probably not a recovery. Actually, it would be probably a body recovery. It's not a rescue at this point.
Yeah, I was watching the day that they switched from...
Oh, okay.
Search and rescue to search and recovery.
Got it. Well, there's that. Let's... we're going to move on to another thing like this. Like our headlines and what we're going to talk about. Starting hour two, but this is how we kick this off. All four of us have headlines, and it goes something like this. Oh, how about some false threats?
Welcome, Kosovo.
Well, fathom this.
Dolphin snorting cocaine.
Oh.
I will turn myself in for 1,000 likes.
It doesn't look that far. We could jump that.
White or black?
Texas officials rename a high school.
White or black?
Just gotta make it easier for the users.
Okay, we're going to have these stories and more coming at you at the beginning of hour two. Do stay with us. It's a whole 3-hour show. We got a couple more to go. It's Q Talk America. Stick around.
You're listening to Q Talk America.